the gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
Piper.
What did he do this time?
I'm still talking about what he did last time.
Again.
His response to Falwell.
This is like show number 27.
I think it's only four.
Oh.
But
I lost track.
We're gonna try to end it here.
Excellent.
But I'm not even gonna review
this. This is the show for the faithful listener.
Yes, it is. All those
they've been listening and they're so excited because they are on the edge of their seat about what you're going to say, and then it's going to finally be here.
I know it.
And everyone else is just like, man, what is this guy doing?
No, because each show stands alone, even though we're building.
Right.
It's a progression, but I do have regular listeners, oddly enough.
Right.
Many of them are just Christian Talk 660 listeners, and they have to listen to me in order to get to the next show.
Yeah, but we'll take them. We'll take them.
Others are holdovers from the previous show. Whoever comes on before me day to day. But then I have some faithful listeners that tune in on the internet, so that's pretty cool.
Right, that is true.
Don't know why they're listening. Maybe they just, boy, have you ever heard this guy? He's totally whack.
No, don't beat yourself up.
All right,
You're presenting solid biblical
truth. I'm trying. Now, remember, Falwell talking about arm yourself.
Yes.
Piper says no.
Yes.
That's my summary. How's that?
That was great.
Quick. What that did was lead you and I, or you and me, I guess would be the better way to say it, into.
Thank you.
Yeah. I know your grammar, you know, you're precise.
Right.
So this has led us into a discussion over the proper role of government, and that, you know, flowed from some things we were talking about with reference to Piper and Falwell.
Yes.
Well, in order to understand this, you got to understand Romans 13 and how most Christians have a faulty view of Romans 13.
Right, and so we were getting on the way to Romans 13.
On the way to Romans 13.
Building a progression.
Yes, and on our way to Romans 13, the larger question we were answering, what does the Bible say about human government?
Mm-hmm.
Is it good? Which is what most Christians think. It's good, and they're supposed to do good things and, you know, push back evil and promote righteousness. It's an extension of God's righteous right hand.
Oh.
That's what a lot of Christians think.
Yes.
But that's not what the Bible teaches. You know, we talked about Herod beheading John the Baptist. We talked about Herod killing all the babies.
Mm-hmm.
It was a political maneuver, you know. When he heard that Jesus was a rival king.
And
talked
and
about all of those
Nero
things.
Nero killing Christians.
Nero killing Christians. Exactly.
Other things.
Talked about the book of Acts, where the government basically persecuted Christians throughout. Talked about 1 Samuel 8, when Israel demanded a king. What did God say?
He said, I'll give you one, but there's going to be some consequences, and all the consequences were not good ones.
They were not good ones. They were bad.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Daniel 2, and how in Daniel we basically get this prophecy of the kingdom of God arriving. And ultimately, what is the kingdom of God going to do with all earthly kingdoms?
Crush them.
Crush them. That's right. And why would he do that if they're good? No, they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're rival kingdoms to the kingdom of God. And then we fast forward to the book of Revelation, where essentially Nero, the Roman Empire, and by way of extension, human government is referred to as
the beast.
The beast. Empowered by
the dragon.
The dragon. Satan. Now, if you need more than that, I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, you got to listen to the show because we're on our way. We're on our way. That, you know, we play a little song going into break every show. We should have played Going Up the Country or something like that. We're not going to. I'm just saying.
That would have been good.
And I'm on my way. Let's see. Who is that? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, no. Don't start singing now.
I'm not going to sing.
This is radio.
Yeah, you're right.
You have to be entertaining.
Yeah. Well, you have to be a real singer to sing on the radio.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You have to have a voice like Steve Perry or somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't. That's his name, right? You're looking at me funny.
Yes, you know who but that he's is? Not the singer anymore.
Well, no, not anymore, but who's
so
better?
So you're behind the times, man.
Who's better
get
in terms
it.
Of voice quality, though?
I don't know. I could think of a couple.
Owl City?
Well, I mean, no,
kidding.
Probably. I would say Steve Perry definitely has a better voice than Adam Young from Owl City.
Yeah.
But it's like compared apples and
now,
oranges.
I know.
Okay, let's move
let's
on. This
move
is not a...
Let's move on. You know, it was Trump the other day. He was talking about the sissification of football.
Really?
Yeah. There's been a sissification of singing.
That is true sometimes, but...
I don't even believe that. I'm
sometimes
just kidding.
It sounds good.
I know. I'm good. Look, you don't talk about sissification. You remember who was it, Gary, back in the day, had the falsetto, big girls don't want to cry out.
Frankie Valli.
Thank you. Frankie
falsetto.
Valli. So is that what it's called, falsetto? Yeah.
Right.
So it's been around for a while. All right, we got to get back. This is why we never make it.
Rabbit trail.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you asked a question on the last broadcast. Do you remember what it was?
I believe I might have said, how do you know what the government is supposed to do and be like when the Bible does not really give us a prescriptive layout of how it should be?
That's right. In fact, you were wondering whether or not there was a prescriptive layout.
Right.
But you knew that there wasn't, but
right.
You were like, well, is there? And we both said, no, there's not. In other words, the Bible, under the New Covenant,
right.
Does not prescribe what government should be. And we said there were a lot of reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to, you know, hash all that through again, but it's on the way. There was a theocracy, Old Covenant Israel. But the theocracy is no more, right?
Yes.
America and Israel, not the same thing.
Right.
America is not the people of God.
No.
And who are the people of God?
The church.
Church.
The believers.
The believers under the
new covenant,
which is salvation covenant. So the church and America are two different things. So, yeah, Christians live all over the world under all kinds of governments. So the question is, under the new covenant then, well, what would be... You know, if you're going to have a government, and again, we said you don't have to, but that's another broadcast. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to have a government, you know, we're trying to influence government as Christians. We're just like we're trying to influence education, trying to influence the
mm-hmm.
art world, trying to influence the business world, et cetera, et cetera. What kind of government would be the best? You know, what would Christians call for? What is the New Testament? How does the New Covenant work out in civil society?
Mm-hmm.
We could put it in all of these ways. And what we basically said is we'd have to have a very limited government.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the role and function of government would be to preserve liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not a political thing I'm imposing on the scriptures. That's a recognition that, all right, well, I live in a fallen world. Remember, the whole discussion started with Piper and Falwell on self-defense. That's why we got here.
Right.
And I believe the New Testament teaches, okay, thou shalt not kill. All right, Old Testament, New Testament both teach that. So implicit in thou shalt not kill, I have a right to life.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I have a right to defend myself. And if I have a right to defend myself, then I can enlist someone to help me defend myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be government, basically. So we live in a fallen world. We have to defend ourselves sometimes. Government would be my agent. But does government have the right then to take away my liberty?
No.
Well, no. I mean, now, when I talk about liberty, I mean I have the freedom to do what I want to do as long as I'm not hurting anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I'm not violating anyone else's liberty.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I'm not stealing from people or killing people, right?
Right.
So if I kill someone, then the government can step in
mm-hmm.
and take my liberty. Okay.
what's interesting to me, and this might be a rabbit trail, but interesting to me is that all of the governments that are spoken about in the Bible are not the form of government that we would want.
Correct.
Other than the theocracy, but we're not in the Old Covenant anymore.
Right.
The Bible doesn't say this is how government should be, and here's an example of this government that we have over here.
Right.
All of the government that is in the New Testament, as you mentioned, was persecuting Christians. The Bible addresses not how the government should be, but how our response to the government should be. It says, be a Christian wherever you are, in whichever government you're under, and obey Jesus and live out your life for his glory and try to promote the things that the gospel is about.
Yes, that is exactly what the New Testament says, what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly right. And so all this talk about what you want government to be, well, you know, it flows from the society in which we live, in a sense. It flows
right.
from our circumstances. Well, how can we influence? It's not that we're trying to impose Christianity through the government, which is something we talked about last time. It's that, okay, well, how do we respond? And we can respond to a dictator. We can respond to, you know, a republic or a democracy or whatever, an oligarchy.
Mm-hmm.
We have to respond biblically. That's true. But what we're talking about is, well, does the Bible then, and you just answered it, does the Bible say in Romans 13
right.
that the government is supposed to promote God's righteousness and restrain evil? And, you know, listen, I got a quote from a good friend of mine. I'm going to jump ahead. I want to come back a minute. But I got a quote from and I say good friend, he's an acquaintance. I mean, I like him. But his name is J.D. Hall. And, boy, tremendous theologian, recommend his blog, pulpit and pen, and all mm-hmm. the rest. And he's a Baptist. But mm-hmm. with reference to Romans 13 and the government, he's got it all wrong. And I don't mean that ugly. In fact, if he hears this, forgive me, J.D., love you, brother. This is an honest dialogue between mm-hmm. Baptists. At least just, you know, this part, because you're a Baptist
right.
and I'm a Baptist. But he says the government is obligated to enforce the rule of law in a Romans 13 imperative.
Huh.
That's not what Romans 13 is about. The government is not obligated to enforce the rule of law in Romans 13 imperative. That's what I'm trying to say.
So how do we know that? Well, we need to look at the text.
We're going to look at the text, and believe it or not, we're going to get to it on the other side of the break.
Excellent.
So here's what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
Don't let the man get you. Just saying. Stay tuned.
Why don't we just take by faith what parents have done since the beginning of time and really adhere to basically a biblical worldview that parents are the ones in charge?
That's Trace Embry with another answer to Parents Stop Questions. I'm Rich Roswell. Join us for the third program in this series next time on License to Parent.
License to Parent every Monday at 11 a.m. on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Why should you try a free bottle of Blueberry Detox? Are you interested in staying lean and trim? Would you like to promote cleansing and regularity? What about boosting your energy levels? Well, if you answered yes to any of these questions, we want to send you a free bottle of Blueberry Detox. Every scoop of organic Blueberry Detox is bursting with organic superfruits, berries, probiotics, and fiber. Blueberry Detox does it all, supporting your energy, regularity, healthy cholesterol, and more. It can even help you feel less hungry between meals. Plus, Blueberry Detox is certified organic and gluten-free. We guarantee once you try Blueberry Detox, you won't believe the difference. That's why we'll let you try it for free. For your free bottle, call 1-800-775-1039. That's 1-800-775-1039. Just pay shipping and get your free bottle today. 1-800-775-1039. Call now. 1-800-775-1039.
Get ready to join the largest EQIP conference yet. EQIP 2016 is presented by Calvary Church in Westminster, January 22nd through 24th, and will feature Jason Crabb and national evangelist Josh Carter. Come and bring the whole family. Child care is provided at no charge. Limited VIP tickets include reserved seating, meet and greet with artists, and t-shirt. For tickets and information, visit equip.calvarycog.com or call 843-230-5899.
You're listening to Christian Talk 660.
Let me ask you a question.
I'm ready.
You sure?
I don't know. It depends on the question.
Well, remember last time we talked about blue laws, for example, and Christians
yes.
trying to legislate Christian values or Christianity or, you know, certain things through the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the question, what verse would you go to? You know, if blue laws, you know, no alcohol sales on Sunday, whatever. What verse would you go to?
Romans 13, man.
Well, that's where folk go,
come
I
on.
Guess. Right? Well,
I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying, you really can't go to a verse. You can't legislate Christianity through government. And anyway, hang on. You can't legislate morality.
Hmm.
Now, when I say that, you know, there was a disturbance in the force. Okay, 1,000 Christians just said, what are you talking about? Because I hear Christians say all the time, well, you're going to legislate somebody's morality. Well, there's a sense in which that's true. There is no such thing as neutrality,
right.
philosophically speaking. In other words, everybody comes from a worldview. This is why we need to do a future broadcast on whether or not human government is even legit. I know God ordained it, but he ordained Satan. What I mean by legit is, are there alternative what? Mayflower Compact is not the same thing as the state.
Right.
All right. Mayflower Compact.
That's all we're going to say about
that's
that.
That's all I'm going to say for now.
We're going to move on.
I'm okay with the Mayflower Compact.
To Romans 13.
Well, no, but this legislating morality.
Yes.
People say, well, then how are you going to outlaw abortion?
Because I mean, that's a different issue than morality.
Well, it is, but hang on.
Oh.
You might as well say, well, how are you going to outlaw murder?
Right.
And remember my argument that if there's going to be a government, from a Christian worldview perspective, that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It must be as limited as possible, and the role of government would be to protect the liberty of human beings created in the image of God who have free moral agency. I have no right to enslave another, no right to kill another, no right to steal from another. Get me?
I got you.
And so government protects that liberty.
Yes.
It doesn't do anything else. It doesn't provide housing, doesn't provide education. Doesn't provide welfare, doesn't provide, you know, any of this stuff. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, just side issue, came up with a new Bill of Rights, you know, the right to a home, the right to medical care. These are not rights from God. You have the right to pursue home ownership because you have the right to freedom, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. All right, think about all of that. Well, now go back, abortion. You said different issue. What do you mean? I know what I mean.
Because exactly what you just said is not an issue of something, well, is this a moral issue? Like, am I going to do something bad? And is the government going to come after me? No, this is an issue of a right to life.
Yes.
An unalienable right, if
you
will.
Thank you. Now, abortion is a moral issue.
Right.
But we don't ban it because it's a moral issue. We ban it because we have a right to life, like you just said. We ban it because you don't have a civil society if you have abortion. Okay?
Yes.
So when people say, oh, you can't legislate, I say you can't legislate morality, because, well, how would you do abortion? Again, there are some issues that are civil issues only, there are some issues that are moral issues only, and there are some issues that are moral and civil. Abortion just happens to be one that's moral and civil.
Yes.
Okay? But I can't. And see, if you have a Christian in charge of government, some Christians would ban R-rated movies, and other Christians wouldn't. A lot of young Christians out there love R-rated movies. But a lot of other Christians won't let you go to the movies at all.
Right.
So who's right? Who's wrong? If you're going to say, well, now we're going to start legislating morality, well, whose morality are you going to legislate?
There's no one person.
Well, that's it. See, that's an evolutionary worldview. Might makes right. Whoever's in charge makes the rules. That is not a Christian worldview. Yet another reason.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 13 doesn't mean what everybody thinks it means. Who's going to decide how we're going to implement God's righteous, you know, righteousness in the land, restrain evil? Who defines righteousness in that context? Who defines evil? We all disagree. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christians agree on a lot of things. We certainly don't agree on everything.
Yeah, right.
All right. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
But see, now, let me go back to J.D. Hall, because this leads us then into Romans 13. What we have argued is that Romans 13 is descriptive of the way government mm-hmm. is, not prescriptive of the way government should be.
Yes.
So J.D., I'm just using him as a representative of millions
mm-hmm.
of Christians and thousands of Baptists. Because I'm going to say something about that in a minute.
Okay.
The government is obligated to enforce the rule of law in a Romans 13 imperative. That's his thing. That's why I say, well, who decides what the rule of law is? Nero? You want Nero deciding?
No.
Now remember, who's Paul writing to in Romans?
Persecuted Christians.
Persecuted Christians. Roman Christians in Rome under Nero. Now, he says submit, and they should. But are you saying that we want Nero enforcing the rule of law?
No.
I mean, what if you're a Christian baker? See where I'm going with that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is the government obligated to enforce the rule of law in a Romans 13 imperative on you and force you to bake a cake for same-sex union? Is that what Romans 13 is about?
I don't think so.
You say, oh, well, religious freedom. We believe in religious freedom. Okay, well, now all of a sudden you're outside of Romans 13. I'm just saying.
Mm.
But you believe in religious freedom, you're only halfway there. It's not religious freedom. That's not the issue. Everybody says that's the quintessential. No. Do I believe in religious freedom? Absolutely, 100%. But what's the quintessential issue? Freedom. Freedom in general, not religious freedom only. I mean, do you think, most Christians, I'm asking you Christians, would you force, by law, the government, would you require a Jewish photographer to photograph a neo-Nazi rally?
No.
Well, you wouldn't and I wouldn't, but I'm just asking other Christians who are so hyped up on what they think Romans 13 said. They would say no. Okay. Well, then if you would say we can't force a Jewish photographer to photograph a neo-Nazi rally, then you're already, your position in Romans 13 is already weakening, praise the Lord. Not that we don't believe Romans 13, that's not what I mean. We believe Romans 13, we believe every word of it, but I'm talking about your understanding of Romans 13.
So what does it say?
Well, here's what it says. Look, I want to get to some stuff.
You got 5 minutes, man.
Here's the context. Romans 12, let's go back there because that's where Piper went. Said that there's a sharp distinction between 12 and 13. I'm going to argue that there's not.
Mm.
Verse 14, listen to what it says, chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you. Hello? Who are we talking about?
The government.
Nero, darn right. I can't say that, forgive me. That was a colloquialism.
Okay, I'll forgive you.
But I don't like that. I'm sorry, forgive me. But I'm just saying, jolly good. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. We're talking about Nero. rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, be of the same mind toward one another. I mean, just going through. Here's how to be a Christian, like you said. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have no regard for good things in the what does that say? No, have regard, not no regard. I'm like, what? How did I add a no? Have regard for good things in the spirit of all men. If it's possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, he coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. See, same context.
Hmm.
They're persecuting you, but be subject. Now, let's just put Nero in here and read it. Let every soul be subject to Nero, who's a persecutor. For there's no authority. Nero, he's not here except from God. God allowed it. This is what Romans 13 says. And Nero, the authorities that exist, are ordained by God. Nero's ordained by God. It's okay. He's not okay, but you're going to be okay. Therefore, whoever resists Nero, you're resisting what God has ordained. And those who resist, you're going to have a hard time because Nero's going to come down hard on you. You know, bring judgment on themselves is what the text
says. You're paraphrasing and reading all at the same time.
I know.
Just to clarify that for the viewer.
Well, I know. You go back and read it along with me. For rulers, for Nero is not a terror to good works, but to evil. See, this is where the Christians get the good and evil thing. Well, wait a minute. How does do you think Nero is following God's law, God's rule, God's... No, he's not. But he says Nero's a terror. For Nero is not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of Nero? Then do what's good, and he's going to praise you. Well, what do you mean do what's good? Well, do what's good in terms of the law that Nero has laid down. Submit to
follow
that.
Follow the law. Be civil.
Be a good citizen. For he is God's servant to you for your sanctification. The word good is used in there, but we're going back to Romans 8:28 as we've done before. So Nero is for your sanctification. But if you do evil, in other words, if you break the law, be afraid, because he doesn't hold the sword in vain, right? That means it's a real sword. It doesn't mean that, you know, God wants Nero to get you. It just means it's a real sword. You know, you go to the guillotine, you go to the electric chair, speeding ticket. It's all real. For he's God's servant and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. This is just the way the fallen world is. So therefore, you must be subject not only because of Nero's wrath, but also for conscience sake. What does that mean? Well, this is the part about being a good Christian. See, if you go over to 1 Peter, he says, you know, submit to the authorities, same thing, so that when they persecute you, right, they realize you're not a bad citizen, and they say, oh, well, this guy's really a good citizen. Don't let them persecute you for breaking the law. You deserve that. But when they persecute you for being a good citizen, well, guess what? You're called to this. Submit to that. I mean, you bring that into Romans. It's the same thing. It's the same Bible. So, and then, of course, he's basically saying submit, and we dealt with Romans 13, submit so that Nero won't come against you. But we know there are other times when we're supposed to resist. You see that in the New Testament. If they say don't preach the gospel, we have to resist. We might have to die. Okay? So this is the discussion, and this is how we bring all of that together. Does that even make sense?
That makes sense.
Good. I didn't get to talk about my Baptist thing, but maybe a future different broadcast. But we're done with this. Join us next time on The Dean's List.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net. where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.